fountain I drink from always comes. And let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life always is my song. Yes, you are good, the good. The king of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, you my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, you my song. Yes, you are good.
And he never does let us down. God is a good, good God. We'll open your Bible tonight to Luke chapter 1. Luke's gospel in the first chapter. We're going to start reading in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Wouldn't you just love an angel to appear and say, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Notice it didn't say she was afraid of him. A lot of times it's recorded that people were afraid when they saw angels. But it says she was troubled at what he said. Disturbed, confused at what he said, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. No end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. I want to key in on the next couple of verses. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Say, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary is troubled at what the angel says, but she receives it. And she ponders it, but the angel, they had a dialogue. And the angel, I think what got to her was when he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. We have to remember that with God, nothing is impossible. And so she said, let it be to me. Let this that you're telling me right from the throne of heaven, let it be done according to your word. And so Mary believed the word. And at that moment, she conceived in her heart and in her womb. Had she not conceived in her heart, she would not have conceived in her womb. I want to talk to you about how to conceive a miracle. Because Mary conceived a miracle. She could have said, no, wait, this is too strange. This is too far out. She could have shut the thing down. But I believe when the angel said, for with God, nothing will be impossible. You have to get that into your memory bank and just hit that on repeat sometimes. Doctor says impossible, but with God, it's impossible. I understand the doctor says it's impossible, but the doctor's not God. God is God. And the Bible here says that God himself sent a message by the angel and said, tell her, for with me, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I like the Amplified here. It says, for with God, verse 37, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. No word from God. So you're 99.9% there when you get the word from God. Because God's word can't fail. You're really 100% there. You've got to believe it, though. You can know that it's from God, but you still have to believe it. That's why I wore this shirt tonight. You have to believe it, or you have to conceive it. Believing and conceiving are one and the same. You have to believe. All things are possible to him who believes or to him who conceives. You have to conceive it in your heart. Turn over to 1 Peter with me. Let God's word just bless you tonight. Let God's word bring illumination to your understanding. Before we go there, let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is truth. I thank you that no word from God shall ever fail. And so we thank you, Father, as we come around your word tonight. I pray for these hearing the words of you, Father, tonight that they have ears to hear. That they, in other words, they purpose to hear and understand and to know what you're saying to them. And that they plant it deeply into the good ground of their heart where it'll produce for them. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity tonight to hear the incorruptible word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. So over in 1 Peter chapter 1, let's start down in verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Sounds like what Jesus said in John chapter 15. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God is incorruptible. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. Not my word. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 10. Most of you are familiar with this passage of scripture. When we talk about getting born again, getting saved, we'll start in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You have to conceive God's word in your heart. Here he says you have to believe it in your heart. So you have to hear the word preached, number one. And then you have to do something about what you hear. Just like the two thieves, one on either side of the cross of Jesus when he was crucified. That represents the two thieves, represents all of humanity. And it represents the two choices that can be made. One that says yes to Jesus, and one of those did. He had no chance to do any good works. He didn't have chance to go to Sunday school and church and prayer meeting. He just called out on the name of the Lord. He called out to Jesus, and Jesus said, you'll be with me. The other one continued to hurl insults and profanities at him, and he went into hell. So we have to conceive the word of God. That's how we get born again. Well, God didn't, when he came up with this plan of salvation, it's all inclusive, isn't it? We know by his word that we are spirit man. We're a three-part being. We are spirit. We have a soul. Our soulish realm is our mind and our will and our emotions. And then we live in this earth suit, a body. And when we leave planet Earth, we're not taking this body with us. They're not going to put dry ice around us and ship us to where we're going. No, we're leaving this behind. But our soulish realm and our spirit man are going to stay together, and we're going. I told somebody on the phone today, I think, if Jesus comes, I'll see you in the air. I think it was you on the phone. I don't know why that came out. I was in the parking lot at Denny's over in Portland, Maine. I was just saying goodbye. I said, if Jesus comes, I'll see you in the air. I know where I'm going. So we have to conceive, or we have to believe in our heart. I want to talk to you about conceiving your miracle. That's the greatest miracle of all. But anything else that you need in life, you're going to have to receive from God. He doesn't jam it down your throat. He doesn't stick a funnel in your mouth and pour down what you need. No, you have to choose to believe it and receive it. Mary heard a word from, she was troubled at this angel and what he's saying, but she had to make a decision, didn't she? And she decided, I guess this is the real deal. Just as if you've said, Gabriel, let it be done unto me. She conceived in her heart. And then the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was impregnated by God, by the Word of God, we saw in 1 Peter. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. That Word cannot fail. So when you get the Word of God on your situation, whatever it may be, God shows up and His Word will work. Isaiah 55:11, He says, so shall my Word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return void. It will accomplish that which I desire. It will prosper where I send it. When you send the Word of God, it prospers on your behalf. You get God. That's how it is activated. That's how it's activated. It's activated in our hearts. His Word in our heart. I'd look to see if my marigold seeds were still here. I carry them around. I've had them for years. And I still don't have a bouquet of marigolds. And people are just wondering, why don't they grow? Why, Pastor? Why don't you have a nice bouquet of flowers? And some of you are really sharp and said, because they're still in the package. You haven't planted them. And you're absolutely right. I haven't planted those seeds, so I get to carry them around like that. But these beautiful, those are probably imitation, aren't they? Okay, poor illustration. But anyway, you understand where I'm going with that. You have to plant the seed. You know, how many have done flower gardens or vegetable gardens? You don't go to the, you know, Agway and get all your seeds and bring them home and leave them on the kitchen table and expect you're going to have vegetables in the harvest season. No, you get to work and you take time and plant them and water them and talk to them probably. How many talk to their flowers? Does it really work? I don't know. I'm not a really good flower grower or vegetable grower. But anyway, we have to plant God's Word into our heart. That doesn't seem too difficult, does it? But we have to believe it first, don't we? If it's going to work for us, we have to believe it. How do you muster up enough faith to believe the Word? Have to get into the Word. Romans 10:17, just jot that down. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how you get faith. You do not pray for faith. You don't pray for faith. The boys asked Jesus, you know, increase our faith. You know, boys, you've got enough faith. You got to do something with it. He said, if you would say. So saying has something to do with planting your seed. But if you haven't planted God's Word in your heart, you don't know what to say. So in order for you to say, you have to believe it in your heart first. And when you get the phone call in the midnight hour, you don't have time to go find your Bible and say, I guess we better do our Bible studying. No, you got to have it firmly planted in your heart, and you got to be declaring and decreeing. For 2 hours on that trip to Portland, Maine, we were decreeing and declaring and praying by the Spirit of God. And by the time we got there, we felt like Hercules, you know. Faith built up. Why? Because we had 2 hours of nothing but the presence of God with us. I didn't have somebody saying, oh, and, you know, falling apart, saying, you know, look at this, look at that. And I said, we've had a lot of people come around afterwards and, oh, well, you know, this is hereditary. This is in your family. And great Aunt Martha had problem with her appendix. I said, yeah, well, great Aunt Martha's got nothing to do with this today. You know what does? Isaiah 53:1. Whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. And so that's the report we took. We carried into that place the kingdom of God. We walked in and brought the presence of God. And peace came upon that place. And then my grandson knew enough to reach out. And actually, he was on the bed when they came for him to take him down to the operating room. And he said, I want Beeper to carry me. I'm Beeper. And so I picked him up off the bed and put him onto the, and he didn't let go of me. And so we just went for a ride and in the elevator and all the way down. And there we go. The kingdom of God had been activated. I didn't have my Bible with me. Wait, let me read a scripture. No, I was just praying over him. I was declaring God's word over him. But I had to get it in there at some point in my life. I've been hiding it in my heart. I've really not been hiding it. It's in there and it comes out all the time. And you know, all the time that we've been around there, we're thanking Jesus. We're just praising the Lord. And everybody around us is being affected by the word of God that's coming out of our mouth. It's creating an atmosphere. Your words create your life. And so we were speaking life. That's what we needed in this situation. We needed life. We needed to push back what the enemy was trying to do. And so we brought the word of God. But it had already been conceived in our hearts. It's been conceived and it's growed up. It's growed up. I think that's a new one. Write that one down. Praise God. It's growed up. Turn over to Luke in the 8th chapter for a minute. I want you to see something here that Jesus said. How many remember the red words are the words of Jesus? I actually don't have a red letter edition, but I know when he's speaking and when he's not. And in Luke chapter 8, he had shared a parable. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 4 and Matthew 13 about the parable of the sower. And he shared that parable. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but most of you are familiar with it. But they didn't understand it. And so afterwards, when Jesus was alone, they went and asked him about it. And I love how there was others. It wasn't just the disciples. There were some others that heard that said, you know what? We got to get in on this. Because Jesus said some things that were pretty powerful. He said, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all of them? So some people were smart, say, we better find out what the master's saying here. And so then he shares, and in Luke's account, in verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. He's going to explain it. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The word of God that was delivered by Gabriel to Mary brought life into her womb and created life. But she had to conceive it in her heart first. So she conceived in her heart the word that was brought to her. And then that allowed the word of God to do what it was sent to do. And that was to create life in her womb. Life that had to come. Jesus had to come. He had to come. Why? Because God had delegated all dominion in the earth to man. Why, when Eve and Adam, you know, transgressed, why didn't God just say, time out, let's replay this? He couldn't. Not because he wasn't powerful enough, but because he had spoken the words that he gave Adam the dominion in the planet. See, he created the planet for his kids. And then he empowered them and he gave them the authority to rule and reign in the earth. And then it got messed up a little bit, and that's why we've got this book. To sort it all out and get us back on track. So anyway, the seed is the word of God. So you take the seed of the word of God for a situation that's going on in your life. Maybe you're running into financial problems. Get in this book and find out what God says about finances. I looked it up once. There's in the New King James Version, there's over 2,300 verses that talks about finances. Do you think God wants to instruct us something about how we handle our money? Over 2,300. And so you just need one. You just need one of those that you can plant deep into your heart and believe and conceive the answer to your mess. And I'm not saying that it's going to come by you winning the lottery, because it ain't. But what it might do is you conceive that word and now God gives you an idea. He might give you several instructions to do. He might say, stop blowing your money in the places you're blowing it. I don't know. But he may give you an idea. He'll do something because his word can't return void. When he says, all my needs... In Philippians, go over there. Philippians 4, is it? 4:19. Everybody knows that one. But do you believe it? Have you conceived that one into your heart? It's one thing to just remember it. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. A lot of times I just encourage you, let's pretend we've never looked at the book before, because sometimes we think we know and we just miss what God wants to share with us tonight. So Philippians 4:19, and my God might supply, occasionally supplies, wants to supply, is desperate to supply. No, he shall supply all of your need. What do you need? According to his riches and glory. So God's not a poor God. We're just poor at receiving instruction sometimes. We're poor at getting into his word and getting it planted in our hearts sometimes. And I could, you know, come up with a whole list of things that we're probably poor at doing. But if you want God's word to work for you, there are some things you're going to have to do. Number one, you're going to have to believe it. Number two, you're going to have to plant it in your heart. Jesus said so in Mark chapter 4. He said, you won't understand any of the other principles if you don't understand that this is my, the word of God is seed. And you see, the seed doesn't change. In that parable, there was by the wayside, there was the stony ground, there was the thorns and the thistle ground, then there was good ground. But it's all the same word. God's word doesn't change. God doesn't change. And he and his word are inseparable. What changes is the hearts of the people. And that's what he was showing us. The hard soil, the by the wayside. The one that says, I don't even put any stock in it. I'm not even going to really value or esteem his word. And so what does the Bible say? Satan comes and steals it from you. Because you don't value it. You have to value something if you're going to hold on to it. I mean, ladies, you have a diamond ring. You value that, so you take care of it. You don't just haphazardly, when you're at Walmart, you know, you take it off and leave it on the counter. You don't do something like that. Well, you have to value and highly esteem God's word higher than that diamond. And so you've got to take that word. And the good ground is the only one that produced anything. Some 30, 60, 100, you get to decide. But the others produced zippo, nothing. Got offended. This is too hard. Complain, whine. I don't have to go to church twice in a week. Well, then you got to stop falling asleep on Sunday morning and get the word in your heart. Because falling asleep Sunday morning is going to nullify the word getting in there. Some of you are laughing. Do people really fall asleep in church? All right, let's move on here. We're almost done. It's not that difficult to conceive a miracle, but you do have to be diligent. I think in Hebrews 11:6 it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who just show up every other Sunday. No, who diligently seek him. You can't be a casual Christian and be living in victory. Not going to happen. I mean, think about it. You've all watched the Olympics. Those people, you know, how many people do we hear that they're training for second place? They don't do that. I'm training for the bronze. No, they train their brains and their bodies out for the gold. And so we've got to train our minds and bodies too. We've got to sit down sometime and open the word. We got to stop being so busy, Martha, Martha. And we got to get into the word like Mary did. Mary's sitting right in front of the word. And Martha's just going zoom, 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 zoom. Got her tablets going off and her iPads going off. And phone calls coming in and texting. And what was that new one now? You put something on my phone this last couple of days. Zach did something. Hangout. What's a hangout? It's an app. I saw it on my phone. They said, my wife's touched my phone. I wouldn't know how to get a hangout if I tried to. So anyway, yeah, it's like Skype or something. I don't know. Our son lives in California, and he called the other night and wanted to do the, you know, hi, and you see each other, and, you know, like he can't remember what we look like or something. But anyway, it wasn't working on all the other things. And so he said, you knew he had this hangout thing. So what are they talking about? Slang stuff. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, where was I going with that? I don't know, but it was interesting. So turn over to Hebrews 1. I was quoting Hebrews 6, but Hebrews 1 is where I wanted to get us to. Hebrews chapter 1. Yeah, that's the coffee chapter. And I'm going to start right in verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days, say last days, spoken to us by his Son. Do you know Jesus has spoken? He's spoken to you, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. God and Jesus are inseparable. They're one and the same. And it goes on to say, and upholding all things. How many things? All things by the word of his power. That's pretty powerful. His word. If we go to Genesis, we're not going to turn there and look at the account of creation. God spoke it. He spoke it. And it was. And then he said it was good. And so here we see that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Do you suppose God could uphold a situation that you're dealing with tonight? By the word of his power. Get the word of God on it. Get the word of God. It will resurrect things in your life. If you need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ working in your life, get the word. Jesus is the word. Get the word on the situation. It will resurrect it. It will resurrect relationships. It will resurrect finances. It will resurrect a physical body. It's amazing how amazing we are, and God created us. And then he gave us the authority and the dominion, and he said that we can speak. Speak to that mountain, Jesus said. Release your faith and speak to that mountain. Amen? I already quoted Isaiah 55:11, so I'm not going to go there. Jeremiah 1:12. Let's put our eyeballs on that. Jeremiah 1:12. Good scripture to know. Most of our prayer life is declaring and proclaiming God's word. I don't make up my own Mickey Mouse prayers. And, you know, I go to the situation. I go to the word about that situation. And then I speak it. And so here, Jeremiah 1:12 says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. The Amplified says, you've seen well, I'm alert and active. You know, God doesn't sleep. We do. We get tired, but... And aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit, one of his names is our standby. When you go to sleep, he's still standing by. Okay? It's not like our computers that go to sleep or we turn them off. No, Holy Ghost is right there. It's important what you're saying before you go to bed, I believe. Now I lay me down to sleep. I'm speaking God's word over my sleep, over my life. So here we see, you've seen well, for I'm alert and active, watching over my word to perform it, or to make sure it comes to pass. The incorruptible seed of the word of God will come to pass if you conceive it in your heart. All things are possible to him who believes. So you believe it, and then there's times when you're going to have to do something about what you believe. James says, faith without works, or faith without corresponding actions, is what kind of faith? It's still faith, but it's dead faith. So we have to have a corresponding action. That could be what we say, or it could be an action of what we do. And the world needs to know who we are. We call ourselves Christians. I don't even like to say that I'm a Christian. I like to say I'm a believer. Because now it leads them to another, well, what do you believe? Well, now that you, how much time do you have? I'll tell you what I believe. But Christian, you know, that name is just thrown around. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I grew up in America. I'm a Christian. So I don't even like to use that word. I like to say I'm a believer. I'm a spirit-filled believer. Why? Because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe the whole book that's for me. I mean, I have to qualify that because this place is in there. You know, Job's wife said, curse God and die. I don't adhere to that part. I don't say that's a good word. See, there's some things that, see, the Word of God is truly recorded. It's not all a record of truth. What she said was, you don't want to follow that thing. That thing will take you down the wrong road. So anyway, God's Word, He'll watch over it to make sure it comes to pass. How cool is that? That you get His Word and then He says, I'm right there with you and I'm going to make sure it comes to pass. You don't have to make sure it comes to pass. You have to make sure you believe it. And you stand. And you don't waver. James talks about wavering. Back and forth. Tossed like the waves. He says, let not that man or woman think that they'll receive anything. Again, God's word is conditional. I say it again. I say it all the time. I don't think I said it tonight, but I say it again. God's word's conditional upon you believing it and you acting on it. It's not enough just to have a head knowledge about the Word of God. You've got to plant it firmly in your heart. There is a song, and I heard it not long ago. It's an old song. It says, I've got the Word of God firmly planted in my heart. It's an old Hillsong song. And I think it's People Get Free is the name of the song. But in that one verse, I heard it and I was in your truck when I heard it because you had that in your CD player. There, no wonder you're shaking your head. Yeah, I know that song. And I was rocking out to that. I said, I love the words. That whole song is just so powerful because they take the Word of God and put it into song. So when you're worshiping that music, you're speaking forth the Word of God. It's going forth. It's going ahead of you. Glory to God. A couple more scriptures on conceiving your miracle. Matthew chapter 8. It's a story that most of you know. If you've been around this place very long, you've heard it at least 178 times, maybe more. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, that's too bad. He should be here at the meeting. Oh, wait. That's not what my Bible says. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. So what's the will of the Lord here? And Jesus said over in the Gospel of John that I only say the things that I hear my Father say. So now we've got the Father and we've got Jesus the Son. And then we're going to see here that the Holy Spirit gets involved because He's the right arm of God. He's the strong arm of God. And so the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. He wasn't a Jew. He didn't have any covenant with him. He said, but look at this. But only speak a word. And my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. I want Jesus to marvel the same way to me that he marveled here to this man. He marveled and he said to those who followed, truly I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many, many will come from the east and west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed. So let it be done for you. It's the same thing Mary said to the angel. Let it be done unto me as I've believed. She believed it. She told him, take that message back to God. Let it be done unto me. Well, here the centurion says, speak the word only. And now Jesus says, as you've believed or as you've conceived it in your heart. Do you know that that centurion had to have heard some things about Jesus to even ask him to come and heal his servant? He had to know that Jesus was in the healing ministry, that he cared about people and had compassion. He heard all of that. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of Luke, there is an account where there are women talking, and this same situation, and they said, he's worthy. They were speaking to Jesus. He's worthy of it because he's built us a temple. Out of his own money, he had a temple built, that centurion. So he was a wealthy centurion. Don't tell me that wealthy people can't enter into the things of God, or that, you know, I know the Bible says, well, we're not going to go there. I don't want to go in that direction here. But he says, go your way as you have believed or as you have conceived it in your heart, so let it be done for you. This centurion conceived in his heart before he even spoke to Jesus. You see, if you're speaking words of faith, you have to believe it first. So you'll be bold when you speak. That centurion was pretty bold. Jesus said, I never heard anybody speak like this before. And he called it great faith. Are you speaking great faith when you open your mouth? It's just something to ponder. Boy, it got quiet right there, didn't it? So you have to believe it in order to conceive it. Matthew 9, we're going to finish here in two more scriptures. Two more accounts where I believe people have conceived in their heart and they've gotten what they wanted. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. This is did I say Matthew 9? Oh, 27. That was 37. No wonder it didn't look right. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? There's another account where he said, what do you want done? He said, well, that we receive our sight. What do you mean, what do you want done? They followed him. They must have been listening to his footsteps because they're blind. And it says when he got to the house, Jesus didn't do it right there. I don't know. But if you follow Jesus, you will get led into victory. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who leads us into victory. That means you got to follow him. We got to follow Jesus. These guys follow Jesus. And Jesus says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Have you conceived it in your heart? They said, yes, Lord. They didn't say, well, we're hoping, we're pondering, we're thinking, we're wishing. No, they said, yes, Lord. They had already conceived that in the heart. Can you see how bold they were? There's a difference between bold faith and what James calls dead faith. You can think maybe in your mind that you're in faith, but in your heart, you're not in faith at all. So you got to know that you know. That you know. That you know that you know. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to finish right here. Another passage of scripture that you are very familiar. How about Mark chapter 5? Let's go to Mark 5. Because I didn't find that, what I was looking for here. Here we go, Mark. Matters what book you get into, doesn't it? Verse 21, now when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him. Remember the centurion begged him. Now this guy's begging him. Saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. Apparently, Jairus and the centurion had both heard that Jesus will go and he'll heal people. And so they asked, you know. Actually, the centurion, Jesus said, I'll come and heal her. I'll come to your house. This one, Jairus, says, will you come? And He says, come. And so Jesus went with him. So there you have Jesus' answer. Does he want Jairus' daughter healed? He went with her. What else was he supposed to do? That's just like when Peter, you know, when Jesus is walking on the water and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. Tell me to come to you. What else could Jesus do? It was him. I'm Jesus. He says, if it's me, ask him to come out. He had to do that. He's putting a demand on Jesus. I mean, think about it. You're in a boat. You're in your boat. Oh, I think I'm just going to ask Jesus if I can walk on the water. I mean, he had to have thought about that. But he said, Jesus, if that's you, you bid me come. I mean, I think he was just like caught up in the wow. And he walked on the water. Now, we know what happened. You know, how many times have you walked on the water? We can't remember just that he started to fall and Jesus grabbed him. You know, he took some steps. He took some steps. I believe that was a great illustration for us over fear, because it says Peter saw the wind and the waves and he got afraid. Fear will derail your faith. Had we gotten halfway to Portland and started bawling and squalling and said, I just don't think this is going to work. You know, they said it's bad and it's getting worse. And you believe the reports of the ones telling you stuff. And then all the relatives that want to tell you how many people have ever died in our families that had this situation. You've got to know when to shut your family out of your hearing. And the doctors, too, they'll ask you. How many people have had this in this condition? None. None that I know of. None that if I know, I'm not telling you. Secret. Not going there. Not going to lie to them, but I'm not going to tell them either. You know what? Call Aunt Bertha. You know, she died. You try to get a hold of her. She'll tell you. All right. So here we see, Jairus puts a demand on Jesus. He's going. Verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. How many know that's too many years? That's 12 years too many to be with an infirmity. And she'd suffered many things from many physicians. And she'd spent all that she had and she was no better, but rather grew worse. Now she's broke too. But when she heard about Jesus, she came in behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. When did this woman get into faith? When she heard a report about Jesus. Because here it's saying, after she heard about him, she did something. She put her faith in action. If she didn't believe it in her heart, she wouldn't go. She could be stoned by going out into public. She was unclean. So she conceived her healing in her heart before she ever left the house. When she heard, she conceived it when she heard about it. She said, you know what? I'm going to go. And she said, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Well, she must have heard that you could touch the hem of his garment. And there's many other places where it says, and they just touched the hem of his garment and they got healed. She heard about one of them and she said, you know what? I'm going to do that. She'd had enough. 12 years too much. Not going on anymore like that. And so she got what she believed in her heart. She conceived that and said, I'm going for it. I'm getting it. And then she told Jesus the whole story. And he said to her in verse 34, daughter, your faith has made you well. So Jesus is linking believing in her heart, putting a corresponding action to what she believed. He's equating that to faith. Real faith. Real faith that gets the job done. She believed it in her heart. She conceived it in her heart. She got her miracle before she got her miracle. You're going to have to get it in here before you get it out externally in your body. You're going to have to get it in your spirit. Mary conceived it in her spirit. The centurion conceived it in his spirit. Jairus conceived it in his spirit. Now, we haven't even finished the story with Jairus. This gets worser for Jairus. While, verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, Some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. That's just a report you're going to have to not listen to. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Afraid will cause you to sink. He said, only believe. Keep that conception alive in you. I love the Amplified here. Overhearing, this is Jesus, overhearing what was said, that report that the daughter's dead, but ignoring what they said. You're going to have to learn to ignore some things that people say to you, even if it's a doctor with a stethoscope around him and cute little booties and a hairnet. I saw a lot of those. You're going to have to know when to believe and receive their report. The report we believe and receive is, he's good, he's going home. I believe that one. But on the way in, on the inside of it, could they wanted to go over all the could be's, what ifs, what could happen. And then people start calling, oh yeah, don't you remember so-and-so died from that? You know, I don't know if the family just doesn't love us, or if it's just in their ignorance they want to share it. But come on, you're facing something like that. Oh, by the way, I just got to tell you before I hang up, so-and-so died of that, you know. Oh, thank you. Leave that one playing on replay in your mind. No. You know, you just, as soon as you get an inkling, they're going to say it. Click. Verizon, can I hear you now? You know, I don't know what happened. We lost connection. So Jesus says, ignoring what they said, he said, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Stand to your feet. When we conceive God's word in the good ground of our heart, it will produce a miracle each and every time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done here tonight. I thank you for the good seed of the word of God going into our hearts, into the good ground. I thank you, it's incorruptible. No devil in hell, the devil himself, nobody on this planet, even you won't take it out of my heart, Father. When I plant it in my heart, it's there. It's growing, it's producing. So we thank you tonight. I pray that all these people that have heard this and are hearing it online and hearing it by way of duplication, I pray, Father, that they would go back over your word. They would go back over the scriptures. And they would see that as we plant your word in our hearts, we will produce life. So we thank you for life tonight. We thank you for the life that you've poured into us. And Father, I'm reminded that you said in Matthew 5:16, so let your light shine. So that's instruction I want us to leave with here tonight, that we'd let our lights shine before men, that they would see our good works, that they would glorify our Father in heaven. So we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, thank you all for coming. You are dismissed.